world where medical doctors cover up your symptoms with drugs. You need a better way. Look no further. You found it. The Freedom From Pharmacy Podcast.
The Freedom From Pharmacy Podcast is for information purposes only and should not be considered as medical advice. Always consult a physician when trying to get off a prescription medication.
Welcome to the Freedom From Pharmacy Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Showalter. I am certified in holistic nutrition. I am not a doctor, and these claims have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration to prevent, cure, or treat any disease. All right, so you might have heard in the last couple weeks that they changed the guidelines for high blood pressure. And so basically overnight, the U.S. population went from 32% having high blood pressure to 46% of the population having high blood pressure. Now, 32% is a lot already. And now we're close to 50% of the population. That is unbelievable. So what the guidelines were before, high blood pressure was three consistent readings of 140 over 90. Now, most doctors will just take one reading, and if it's 140 over 90, boom, you get a drug, lower your blood pressure. But you're supposed to take three consecutive readings. Typically, you'd want to test your own blood pressure at home so you're not stressed in a doctor's office, and test your blood pressure at the same time of day for three different days. And if they're all about the same, then you have a good reading on what your blood pressure is. Now, you can get a little blood pressure cuff at a store. It's got a little air compressor in it, and it's digital, and it'll pump up and then count the beats of your heart and stuff, and it'll even record your history. And those are neat things to have. They don't cost a lot of money. So what they did was they changed it, instead of 140 over 90, they changed it to 130 over 80. So question arises whether this was a push by drug companies to as a way to sell more drugs. And that makes sense considering that they've done it before with cholesterol. It used to be over 200, around 220 where it should be, and they kept lowering it down to 200 and then less than that, and they started to sell a lot more drugs doing that. Now, what they say in the reports, the doctor that was interviewed, a Dr. Marvin M. Lipman, MD, says that they really are want you to change your diet to a DASH diet, which is a combination of reduced sodium intake and the DASH diet, rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, low or fat-free dairy, fish, poultry, beans, seeds, and nuts. This is the same bull crap that they've been telling you to do for the last 50 years, and it has, and look where they got it. They've got 46% of the population in high blood pressure doing these same strategies. I mean, they just keep spitting out the same thing over and over again. It's like they don't even study anything. There was a study published in New York Times from Journal American Medical Association in 1996. The authors of the papers, headed by Dr. Alexander Gordon Logan, an epidemiologist and high blood pressure specialist at the University of Toronto, grouped together data from 56 studies involving 3,505 volunteers. They concluded that low-salt diets had virtually no effect on people with normal blood pressure. The vast majority of the population, and at best, resulted in only a small drop in systolic pressure of people with high blood pressure, averaging 3.7 points. In other words, low-sodium diets do not help you lower your blood pressure. Why can't anybody else figure this out? I mean, the studies are there. In fact, low sodium diets leads to heart disease. the exact thing they're trying to avoid. Isn't that interesting? So with the new blood pressure guidelines, if you go in there and you have a high blood pressure, according to them, they have to tell you that they recommend high blood pressure medication by their legal standards, their standards of care. Because if they don't tell you about taking medication for high blood pressure, they could be liable if they don't tell you due to these standards of care. So watch out for that. Now I'm going to talk about all of the different high blood pressure medications that they could recommend for you, and what, how they're supposed to work, and the problems that can arise when you take them. So first on the list is diuretics, or water pills. These make you pee so that there is less water in your blood, meaning less blood volume, equaling less pressure. These can cause dry mouth, thirst, weakness, lethargy, drowsiness, restlessness, muscle pains and cramps, confusion, seizures, muscle fatigue, hypotension, a decrease or absent production of urine, tachycardia, that's fast heart rate, and gastrointestinal disturbances. Beta blockers, next on the list. They reduce your heart rate, the heart's workload, and the heart's output of blood, which lowers the blood pressure. Now, these drugs are particularly bad. There's an article in the Telegraph titled, Beta Blockers Have Caused 800,000 Deaths. And this is based on a study done in Europe, and talks about how patients taking beta blockers, the cornerstone of treatment of heart disease since 1970s, are a third more likely to die within a month of surgery and twice as likely to suffer a stroke, a study found. This study was published in The Lancet, so that's a reputable journal. And these are the drugs that poison the heart to make it slow down, to slow the beating rate of the heart. Now, if you try to get off of these beta blockers, your body's already been used to relying on this drug to beat slow. So when it doesn't have the drug, it freaks out and starts beating out of control. I had personal experience with my dad with this. We were weaning him off slowly off of the drugs. So, and this is another thing about blood pressure medication. Once you get on them for a while and then you try to get off of them, your body's already used to needing the drug. So when you try to get off of them, your blood pressure goes back up. Even if you think you've fixed the cause of the problem, your blood pressure goes back up. And then the doctor will say, well, see, you needed the blood pressure medication. So you go back on the blood pressure medication indefinitely. And it's never a good idea to be on drugs chronically, unless there's a real serious need for them. Another blood pressure medication called ACE inhibitor. Angiotensin is a chemical that causes the arteries to become narrow, especially in the kidneys, but also throughout the body. ACE stands for angiotensin converting enzyme. ACE inhibitors help the body produce less angiotensin, which helps the blood vessels relax and open up, which in turn lowers the blood pressure. Side effects of these: abnormal taste like metallic or salty, elevated blood potassium levels, sexual dysfunction may occur. A non-productive persistent cough may occur in 5 to 25% of individuals, may last for 2 weeks or longer, may cause birth defects, kidney failure, allergic reactions, a decrease in white blood cells, and swelling in the tissues. Now see, the interesting thing is, you're taking this drug to prevent your body from making this chemical angiotensin. Well, why wouldn't you try to figure out why your body's making this chemical in the first place? I mean, there's a reason for it. Next drug, calcium channel blocker. This drug prevents calcium from entering the smooth muscle cells of the heart and arteries. When calcium enters these cells, it causes a stronger and harder contraction. So by decreasing the calcium, the heart's contraction is not as forceful. Calcium channel blockers relax and open up narrow blood vessels, reduce heart rate, and lower blood pressure. Now this is interesting because a calcium deficiency can cause high blood pressure. So what are they doing? They're making it worse. they're blocking the calcium from going into the muscles because the muscles need the calcium and the magnesium in order to relax the blood vessels so that the arteries have muscles in them so they can contract, but then the relaxing part is what restricts the blood vessels. So when they're not relaxing, you're keeping the blood vessels narrow. So what they're doing is they're blocking the channel, the calcium, from entering into the muscles that need the calcium. Isn't that interesting? This can cause constipation, headache, palpitations, dizziness, rash, drowsiness, flushing, nausea, swelling in the feet, lower leg, sexual dysfunction, overgrowth of gums, and liver dysfunction. They worsen heart failure because they reduce the ability of the heart to contract and pump blood. Isn't that nice? So if you think you're getting to the point of heart failure and you're on high blood pressure medication, it can make it worse. Next drug, vasodilators. These are blood vessel dilators called vasodilators. They can cause the muscle in the walls of the blood vessels, especially in the arteries, to relax, allowing the vessels to dilate. This allows blood to flow through better. This drug can cause rapid heartbeat, heart palpitations, fluid retention, nausea, vomiting, flushing, headache, excessive hair growth, joint pain, chest pain, unwanted effects of unborn babies. Alcohol may interfere with how vasodilators work in your body. Now, you know what would be cool if there was like a vasodilator that didn't have side effects? Oh wait, there is! It's called niacin, and you'd die if you didn't have niacin. Yeah, you know, you could take a time-release niacin, Youngevity's time-release niacin. That's the important part, because if you take too much niacin at once, you'll get a niacin flush, and that's uncomfortable for like half an hour, because your face might turn red, and your body heats up, feels like it's tingling. That's the niacin flush. That's what happens when you take too much niacin all at once. You take the time-release niacin, this can help dilate your blood vessels. And it's not just going to help you with your blood vessels. Niacin's an essential nutrient that your body uses all over. And it's such an easy vitamin that you could take. No, they want to give you a drug that causes all of these symptoms. Next drug, alpha blockers. These drugs reduce the arteries' resistance, relaxing the muscle tone of the vascular walls. This can cause headache, pounding heartbeat, weakness, dizziness, weight gain. Long-term of some alpha blockers can cause an increase in the risk of heart failure. Again, this is what these drugs are trying to prevent. Why is it that so many drugs prescribed to prevent a disease actually cause the disease they're trying to prevent? You know, it blows my mind. Like the antidepressants, if you read on the insert, says may cause depression and suicidal thoughts. Well, isn't that why you're taking the drug in the first place, to prevent suicidal thoughts? Come on. Angiotensin 2 receptor blockers. Angiotensin 2 receptor blockers, similar to the other drug that I had mentioned before about angiotensin, this is a little bit different. This one's going at the receptor of the angiotensin. So these drugs block the effects of angiotensin, a chemical that causes the arteries to become narrow. Angiotensin needs a receptor, like a chemical slot, to fit into or bind with in order to constrict the blood vessels. The angiotensin 2 blockers block this receptor, so the angiotensin fails to constrict the blood vessel. This means the blood vessels stay open and blood pressure is reduced. This can cause dizziness, elevated blood potassium levels, localized swelling of tissue, can cause severe diarrhea or loss of weight while taking them. These angiotensin 2 blockers, receptor blockers, can injure a developing fetus, cause kidney failure, liver failure, allergic reactions, low white blood cells. Isn't that nice? Moving on, peripheral androgenic inhibitors. These medications reduce blood pressure by blocking neurotransmitters in the brain. This blocks the smooth muscles from getting the message to constrict. These drugs are rarely used unless other medications don't help. They cause dizziness, tiredness, lightheadedness, diarrhea, heartburn, vision problems, swelling of the hands, feet, ankles, or legs, decreased sexual ability, stuffy nose, nightmares, insomnia, or depression. Yeah, see, this one has so many negative side effects, they rarely use it unless they have no other option. And it makes sense why you wouldn't want to use it, because this is blocking neurotransmitters in the brain. Yeah, you know, that you would think that would be important, neurotransmitters. So, next one, central androgenic inhibitors. Central androgenic inhibitors help decrease the blood vessel's ability to tense up or contract. These follow a different nerve pathway than the alpha and beta blockers, but accomplish the same goal of blood pressure reduction. It could cause fatigue, drowsiness, dizziness, impotence, constipation, abnormally slow heartbeat, dry mouth, headache, fever. Abruptly stopping some of the central acting agents can cause a sudden, dangerous increase in blood pressure. Yeah, like I said, these definitely want to get help if you ever try to get off a blood pressure medication. And as far as natural ways to deal with the actual cause of high blood pressure, I'm going to link this episode to the episode I did on high blood pressure a little over a year and a half ago. Long time ago. You can find that episode linked to this episode on freedomfrompharmacy.com, or it's on the front page. High blood pressure is so prevalent, I put that thing on the front page, so whenever somebody goes to the home page, they can see that episode. So this is Brian Showalter signing out. We'll see you next time.
To see the products mentioned in this show, head over to freedomfrompharmacy.com and look at this episode's show notes, and you can see all of the Youngevity products by clicking on the store tab.
The Freedom From Pharmacy podcast is owned by EasyWay LLC and is under Ohio Revised Code 475.9.10i.